Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody. It is Becky Brown, and we are going to have a great show today. So if you have any questions, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And by we, I mean Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. Dr. Sherry Keffer is going to join us soon.
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Sherry. I'm so glad you made it.
I know. We just had a fire department at our house. But,
exciting.
I know. But it was for our neighbor. They had the wrong address. Slowed me down a little bit this morning.
Are they okay?
They're fine, right? They're fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And Jackie, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Ooh. Glad to be here.
You know, it is the most crazy time of the year, especially for women. I know that that sounds very sexist, but listen, I saw a meme the other day where a woman was packing or wrapping all the presents, and her husband's laying on the bed watching TV, and she says, "I'm sure he doesn't know anything that the kids are getting for Christmas." And it just makes me laugh because we are making lists and we're checking them twice and we're trying to get everything done. And yet we don't take care of ourselves many times. And yeah. So, you know, I just wonder when I think about my own self and trying to prioritize, it's like I can put it off and say, no, I can just get this other thing done. And someday I'll go take a break. Or I talked to a donor yesterday and I said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "You know, I think I probably need to talk to a counselor." Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had been thinking about it for a while, but I would love for the two of you to encourage women who may not be doing the self-care that they need, especially at this time of year or any time of the year. What are some simple steps forward to self-care?
Well, first, let me just say this. I think you're bringing up a great point. And I see two things in us as women that many of us struggle with. And I think it has to do with growing up as caretakers in our home. And so we feel we're polarized. We feel either selfless. We feel like we're selfless, or I see that we're selfless because we're not taking care of ourselves. But then if we start taking care of ourselves, we feel this odd sense of guilt, like we're selfish, to expect somebody else to partner with us. So I think that polarization, I think at this time of the year, codependency is at its all-time high. There's a bit of competition to feeling like you've got to give a gift and it has to either be given or give better. But I think self-care is putting our oxygen mask on first and telling yourself, "I'm not being selfish. This is, as I talk about this all the time, I go, it's not selfless and it's not selfish, it's self-care-ish. I encourage us to be self-care-ish, thinking about yourself, putting your oxygen mask on, realizing that the frantic you is that what you want people to remember at this time of the holidays? Or is it your best self that has decided to just let some stuff go because it's not the reason for the season."
I agree.
What about you, Jackie?
So I usually tell my clients I am a fan of selfish because we are so busy trying to take care of everybody else. I'm not self-centered, but put your mask on first, right? Yeah. That idea of looking at me first. Because generally, when somebody is unhappy about my no, it's because they want me to do something for them instead of for me. And that's selfish, right? We're all looking out for number one. So I just encourage women to take care of themselves first so that they are able to take care of the people around them that they love. And sometimes it's really hard.
I love it.
I'll say take the S off your chest.
That's it. That's
take
it.
The well, S off your chest. I
and
like
maybe
that.
One of the ways that you can do it, you can call us here, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back after the break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And like we started the show, you know, maybe that next step in self-care is to give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Or, you know, we have a whole new year in front of us. And that means we've got new workshops scheduled. And, you know, we always have Counselor Network that you can connect with. But just like Jackie said, take that S off your chest. And you're not Superwoman or Superman, right?
I told her,
I need help.
You need to make a t-shirt, girl, that just has that. We were kind of planning the t-shirt in the break, but
oh, good.
Wouldn't that be amazing? What a concept.
Well, it would be a blank t-shirt, Sherry. It wouldn't have an S on it.
Or we could do like the Ghostbuster symbol and put that Superman sign on there and
there
then cross
go.
It out, right?
Yeah.
I love it.
We're not taking care of ourselves because we feel beholden to others, and some of us are just pleasers, and it does feel good to take care of others, and so I wouldn't begrudge yourself that either. It's just a matter of be curious within yourself. Am I doing this because I feel like I have to, or people won't love me, or people will be angry with me, or they won't like me, or they'll think I'm mean? Or am I doing this because I want to, because I love this person, or I love baking and they want me to bake a cake and I have time? Because sometimes we are really busy taking care of other people, but because we enjoy that, and that's self-care for us. And so if that's your self-care, you just have to balance, what am I doing to be performative, and what am I doing just out of love and generosity because this feels good.
So let me just say one more thing, because this is a really good discussion. I was just talking to a girlfriend who is getting a gift, and it's really outside of their means. They're struggling. The husband isn't working right now. He was laid off. And I said, so why are you spending this much on that extravagant gift when your husband's not working? And she said, because I love being generous. And I said, wait a second. I said, you guys are struggling. Is that really about generous, or is there a sneaky part of you that is just trying to make yourself feel good? In a season where you don't want to feel the loss, where you don't want to have to go, it's a different Christmas for us. And so I love what you said, Jackie, about having to look inside and see what the motive is. And truly, just be honest with yourself. Let yourself off the hook.
That's right.
And if you need to grieve this Christmas, okay. Grieve it.
I love it.
We have zero decorations up. It has been a wild year, lots of illness. My dad's been in the hospital a couple of times. I know my mom, I can see it in her face. She's tired. We're all tired, sick family members. But we're together.
So I
want the decorations up, but I want us together and healthy and loving each other more. And so I've worked hard this week to not let it bother me.
Because
that's not really what the season is about.
There you go.
Right? And so
there you go.
Well, I might get a couple of poinsettias on my way home so I can feel a little bit better. But I don't really have the time or the energy to pull out the tree year. I just don't.
That's
and we've traveled a lot. So
We will pray for an incredible, memorable Christmas, because sometimes when we shake it up like that, Jackie, those are the memories we remember. Right now, we're going to go to our callers. We're going to take a call from Jandy, who's calling us from Cincinnati, Ohio, listens on the podcast, and you can download our app anywhere you get your apps, and you can listen to the podcast anywhere you get your podcast, and we're glad you do that, Jandy. How can we help you today?
Hi, ladies. Thanks for taking my call. My
of course.
Specific question today is, can you hear me?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. My specific question is, how can I be confident that God has given me direction in certain areas of my life versus me being the one that's taking the initiative to, quote, make things happen? Specifically right now, it would be in a relationship that I'm in, dating relationship.
Okay. All right. Well, Sherry, you want to start?
Can you just give us a little bit about the dating relationship? Well, I mean, because I love your question. I went through being single again and wanted to know that I was on the right path. And it's, you know, it's a complicated, I mean, it's hard to know that at all times because our heart gets in, falls in love and then the wheels come off the bus, right? But what prompted you today to call us? I mean, there's something about this relationship that either matters to you a whole lot for you to call us or is making you a little nervous. Can you just give us a sentence about what's going on?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both. You know, I was married for almost 30 years and divorced a couple of years ago. And that marriage ended due to my ex's sexual integrity issues.
Okay.
And not wanting to get, you know, help. So I realize that is a big, you know, a big thing in my life when it comes to, you know, get into another relationship. But I did the book, Henry's book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, Boundaries and Dating, and was in a group of other singles, and we kind of did this together. So I dated over 13 different guys. This guy and one other one really stood out among the others. I mean, it was clear after the, sometimes before the date finished, that this isn't going anywhere. But this guy checks, he pretty much checks all the boxes. He really does, but I don't know. It might be the way that we came together or we were reintroduced to each other, and I really don't want to get into that on the online. That probably is where it's at, is where my rub is.
Okay. All right. Well, and Sherry, yeah. I know that you've talked about your experience with that book as well, and I wonder if this goes back to that self-care of knowing what it is that you really want, those questions that you guys were talking about when we opened. But go ahead, Sherry and Jackie both.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear from Jackie. Let me just say this. You know, when I went through that process, I went through it in a very similar way that you're doing it. And Kyle, my Kyle now is number 8, and he's now number 1. I mean, he was number 8 out of 24. But bottom line, I was fearless. Because I, like you, came from a relationship where sexual integrity issues, pornography, affairs, I'm not sure what your situation was, but led to a divorce. And so I was fearless, which I consider self-care. It's being faithful to myself. And I asked Kyle questions about pornography. I wanted to know about his past and why his marriage, you know, why they went through a divorce. I wanted to know if he looked at pornography. I wanted to hear all that history because I told him, this is what I said, Jandy, is I said, hey, this is what's happened in my prior relationship, and I've learned a whole lot through it. I don't want to repeat that. And mm-hmm. So if this is something that you struggle with, and I was clear to ask questions, very direct, not just, have you ever struggled? I was very clear to ask questions. I said, I'm going to be a horrible spouse for you. I'm not going to be the best pick because I know too much, and you're just not going to like being with me. But Kyle, because of his integrity in that area, didn't have a problem being honest with me. And that, to me, I thought, okay, either he's a sociopath or he's being honest. And I hope to find that out in the next months together. But it felt like I had to own the steering wheel with God to ask questions so that I would vet him out. So that's just my thoughts, Jandy. I think we have to be very active in our dating lives to ask those questions instead of being too scared to ask them. Jackie, yeah. What are your thoughts?
Sherry, I think that's great because so often we're afraid to ask questions that need asking. Sometimes even therapists have a hard time asking questions about sex and sexual integrity. So I move in my life this way. If God opens the door, I walk through it because I've surrendered my life to Christ. I have accepted Christ as my Savior, and my steps are ordered. by God, right? So if I believe my steps are ordered, then I just walk in faith and believe that if I'm doing it, it's because God's ordained it. Because my prayer has been, don't let me do anything you don't want me to do. If I'm in the midst of something that's not of you, cancel it, stop it. And when I see roadblocks or red flags, I pay attention to them. And I will, it might be something I have to grieve because I might really like this thing. For me, I've been married 34 years and got married when I was 20. So we just had to fight it all out for the last 34 years. And God's been there with us. But it's been in business and with jobs and in friendships and how to parent that I've had to make those kinds of decisions and in leadership. And God, am I doing the right thing? Do you really want us to go this way? And if he allows it to come forth, I trust him. And I just would be really open and with your partner about what your concerns are and make sure that he's open with you as well. Like, is he asking you questions? Does he have any things that he's worried about? Like, as Sherry said, sometimes we're just not the right fit and it would be a terrible match. So being able to be open and honest, and even, you know, in sex therapy, we do a sexual history interview. And so maybe that's something you consider, like what kinds of questions do you need to have answered before you can feel confident in this relationship, and then trust your discernment.
Mm-hmm. I love that. We're going to send Jandy a copy of your book, Sherry, Intimate Deception, because I think that that can help her in that healing process. We're talking about finding our voice and being able to present ourselves the way we want to be seen and the way we want to have our life. And I think that you guys both just explained that to her so beautifully. We're glad you called, Jandy. And let's go to Donna, who's calling us from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Donna. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi. Barely. If you're on your speaker, why don't you pick the phone up, and that'll help a lot.
That's exactly what I will do. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, how about now?
Real yeah, good. Perfect.
All right. So I have an interesting situation, and I'm in a room right now, so I won't be heard. I live with my husband and my two daughters. One is 28, one will be 30 in May, and the one that will be 30 has not spoken to me in about a year and a half. We live together. It's not a big house, by the way. Actually, I just walked past her. He was walking the dog. The dog went to the hospital yesterday. I was trying to give her instructions on what to do and what not to do. Wouldn't even look at me. It's been that way for a long time. And I put a stiff upper lip. I've been brave about it. I don't know what else. You can't make someone talk to you. She did say about a year and a half ago that I treated her like a child.
Right. So now, Donna,
yeah.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. How is she supporting herself?
She's not. We're pretty much supporting her. I mean, she does not have a job. She was working as a financial analyst, but they were quite abusive. It was her first job really out of college, and I do mean verbally, mentally abusive. She almost had a nervous breakdown. She told me to commit suicide. After that, I mean, we were talking during that time, and then right after that, things went downhill, and she decided she just didn't want to speak. Mm. The funny thing is she talked to her sister. She'll talk to my husband, who was abusive at one point, not with her, but with me. We reconciled since. But me, no can do. No can do.
All right. Well, that is a lot, Donna, and we're so sorry your family is experiencing all of this. We're going to go to the break. You can hear the music, and we'll come back afterwards. I know Sherry and Jackie will have some wisdom to hopefully have some help in this family. We want to see some peace. You know, this time of the year is tough for a lot of people, but it also brings up these kind of situations that are things that we live with every single day. And, you know, if you're struggling with something and You need to address it. Give us a call today, 1-800-229-3000. It may be just the thing that you need to do to get moving in that direction of your new life, of something that is whole, healed, and free, and loving. And we want to help you do that. Give us a call. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad that you joined us today. And like I said before the break, we're continuing to take your calls. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We have lines available, and we want to be able to help you have your best life. And we're talking to Donna right now that's got a family situation that's pretty serious. Jackie, let's start with you, and let's get her some help.
Donna, how was your relationship with your daughter before a year and a half ago?
Spectacular. Well, I mean, she's been to Christian school. I put them all through Christian, both her and her sister, through Christian schools. We had a great relationship. She put her feet up on the couch. I'd massage them. Hey, Mom, can you massage my feet? Sure.
Okay, so what is she saying is her reason for not talking to you?
I actually asked her that question when I noticed that there was no, if I sent her a text, nothing. Sent her pictures from our vacation in Arizona, no response. And I sat down on the floor, I had her in the chair, and I said, honey, please tell me what is wrong. Please tell me what is wrong, please. Nothing. And I knew me nothing. So she just turned her head, and when she sees me, she turns her head, she averts her eyes. I don't know. I really don't, other than what she said that one time is, you treat me like a child. She did say at Christmas dinner last year, she thought I was upset with her when I was upset with my husband about something, and she looked at my other daughter and said, did you see that? Did you see what she said? And I wasn't upset with her. I was upset with my husband. That's pretty much the last. I mean, she doesn't communicate at all. She won't.
Let's hear. So one thing I want to clarify, they're 30 and 28?
Yes. Yeah, the young, my daughter with the concern will be 30 in May, and then I want to just turn 28.
Okay.
And of course, she's following along with her sister, you know, a little bit to follow along.
Okay. Have you all considered family therapy?
My husband and I have been through therapy so many times. With her.
Family therapy.
I know what you mean, because I had someone in mind for that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't broached it with her. I talked to her about going to therapy after she told me she wanted to take her life after what happened, but not that.
Not together. Because it's really hard to know what to share with you, because there's no rhyme or reason for what's going on. Was there ever a time where maybe she felt like you were harsh? Were you a harsh disciplinarian? Was there a whole lot of restrictions, even into maybe her late 30s, where she just felt like, you see me as a child and I just can't do this anymore? So I'm really trying to get an understanding of why she would completely stop talking to you, and that would be okay with your husband, that your daughters could still live in your home and be supported by you all and not talk to you.
She talks to him.
But you're his wife, and she's being disrespectful to you, and it sounds as though he's fine with that. And so I'm curious. He's not?
Yes. Go ahead.
No.
He even said it. I was trying not to look at it that way. He said, she's being disrespectful to you. I asked him to...
Said you were trying not to look at it that way?
I was trying not to look at it as her being disrespectful. Yes, I was trying not to see that, because she's never been like that. She's a perfect angel. She's got straight A's. She's a very smart girl, kind, considerate. She's shy. She has... You know, she's not like that.
There's something about her you don't know. There's something about her you don't know. Everything you just described sounds like a lovely person, and yet she's not speaking to her mother and living in the same house with her. There is something about her you don't know, and I think you do have to accept the fact that this is disrespectful, even if it wasn't your child. If it were a roommate that was just, you know, a person walking past you, not speaking every day for a year, that's just rude and disrespectful.
And it certainly is.
And so you have to do something to change that dynamic. There needs to be some boundaries of what's acceptable behavior and what's not acceptable behavior. And I know that we have to shift how we work with our children when they're adults. I have a 28-year-old and a 30-year-old. And we have conversations about the ways in which my husband and I maybe got it wrong when they were children. And we validate that experience. You know what? I didn't know what I didn't know, and I was emotionally unavailable, and my husband was deployed quite often, and so even though he hates hearing that he was an absentee father, he was an absentee father. He was working. Mm-hmm. He hadn't abandoned his family, but children don't know the difference. And so what we do is we sit and we take those conversations in, and we respond with love and validation. And then they also can come back around to the other side and see us. Oh, Mom, you were 28 with two kids and a deployed husband. That had to be so hard. But we're talking because I can give them the room and the permission for what is going on for them to be real and true and valid, even if I disagree with it. And so I think that you need some help having those conversations.
Yeah, I do too. And I also agree. Okay, hold on, Donna. You can hear the music again. We're going to go to another break. And we're going to finish up after the break, but I want to hear from Sherry. You know, one of the challenges is to require them to be adults. It feels contraindicated when you believe that she is as perfect as she is. And I think that's going to be a hard step to call them into their adulthood and see how they can become the women that they are designed to be. But it may not feel good at first. We're going to take a break. We'll be back taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. As I said before, we are here to help you. We are able to do this through so many gifts and support through so many people, and we're grateful for you giving and helping us. But give us a call, 1-800-229-3000, because we want to continue to help you. Right now, we're finishing up with Donna. Sherry, what would you like to offer her in this situation?
So, Donna, I want to ask you something. What if it's true that you treat her like a child? What if it's true that you failed as a mom? How does that feel?
It feels as if that would be counterintuitive to everything that I was trying to accomplish with my daughter.
So,
especially since my husband was abusive and I was trying to protect him from his anger.
I know.
Yeah.
But how does it feel? I know you said it'd be counterintuitive. It's hard to take that in. But what if I told you you have treated her like a child and you failed?
Then I'd be very sad.
Okay.
I'd be sad.
Okay. So I want you to sit in that sadness because I don't think you're going to connect with your daughter until you do. I think even it's just my gut when, you know, the dog had to go to the hospital and you said you were trying to instruct her in what to do and not do. Do you know that's treating her like a child? To instruct a 30-year-old who's not talking to you. It's like, I think you fix out of, we fix thinking fixing equals love, or controlling equals love, or teaching equals love, or somehow we think if we can just tell them what to do or get them on the right path, that equals love.
That's
but
good.
I think your daughter is doing the only thing she can do to try to hold power for herself. And that's to not talk to you. Because she has...
I thought about that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I love it, girl.
I did. I thought about that a lot. And that's why I said, I'm going to let her do it. That's exactly why I said, I know what she's doing. Because sometimes I do have a tendency to instruct. Yes, I do.
Okay.
So, and the fact that her father is the weaker sort... and was abused at some point and has not been able to support me, and just say to her, hey,
okay,
stop disrespecting your mom like that.
Right.
And
okay.
Now she's talking
Donna,
to him. She wasn't talking to him before.
Right.
She wasn't.
So, Donna, we know there's a lot going on. Sherry, why don't you give her a couple of steps to get started in a new way?
So first thing is we're going to send you the book How We Love.
Great.
And How We Love has something in its chapter in it called The Comfort Circle. I want you to do exactly what Jackie said, is you need to get into family counseling. And it may be that your husband asks your daughter to get into family counseling, because the bottom line is living with this is disempowering her. And so the other thing is I want you to go to your daughter and I want you to say, I have been very controlling throughout your lifetime. I have made choices for you, instructed you, and I've been in the illusion that that's love. I've gotten stuck in my parenting and how I've treated you. I haven't really learned how to treat you as an adult, but my heart is aching for connection. I just haven't done it well. And I'd like to learn how to do that better, but I need some help. And so your dad and I and you, I want to go to family counseling. But I want you to own it. But you need to feel it. Because what happened when you felt it is, you know what I heard you do? You went right into blaming your husband, blaming. And that's, you're gonna lose her. You're going to have to go into full ownership and really look at how you've used fixing and instructing and teaching to try to connect all her life. And she just wants a mom who accepts her.
I love that, Sherry. Thank you so much, Donna, for calling. We're going to send you that book, How We Love, and we'll connect you with a counselor in the area. I think that that family therapy is great for families that are stuck, and you definitely need some healing in that. And I thank you for calling. We're going to go to Roland from Steve. You know, he's not with us, but he's here in spirit, and we just want to give you some encouragement. Terry?
Steve Arterburn here, and here's a brief testimony to show you what your generosity is doing. This could be as significant of an event in my life as my salvation, my marriage, and the birth of my son. That's the impact of every man's battle. We cannot do it without you.
Wow. Isn't that just profound? And we've got one coming up right after the first of the year in Washington, D.C., and it may be the next right step for you as a man to own your sexual integrity, to, you know, just get that healing, and we want to help you with that. So you can give us a call, and we'll get you connected. We're going to go ahead and continue with calls. We're going to take a call from Michael, who's calling us from Charleston, West Virginia. Hi, Michael. I'm so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Oh, boy, that last one was a whopper. Well, first I want to make a quick disclaimer, because I don't want to start protests and everything, and believe me, that could happen. I personally feel that the definition of being gay is actively pursuing that lifestyle, whereas having homosexual desires and you're not pursuing them is just that. so I don't consider myself gay. However, okay. ever since age 11, and with some considerable help, I became a homosexual, if you want to put it that way. I'm not going to debate whether or not you're born that way or anything like that. But I also got saved at that time. And it has been a monstrous conflict in my life. I'm 61 now. Now, by the time I was 18, I gave up on it, and I went whole hog into the gay community. Now, this is back in the 80s when you had AIDS. So, in that sense, I'm a veteran. And I lived that lifestyle for 10 years. My second level lover died of AIDS. I was his primary caretaker. I mean, it was horrible. But I was one of the guys that was out there on the streets protesting, okay? So that's how into that movement I want. But it was always a huge conflict with my faith, and I believe that's probably what drove me then into very, very deep alcoholism, which I still struggle with today, okay?
Okay.
And the central issue for me is the fact that, you know, I think it's Corinthians says, you know, such were some of you, and, you know, us homosexual people that are people that struggle with homosexuality, we're in that group. We're in that list. And I'm like, well that just that doesn't seem to be happening, Lord, because I thought I was going to kind of turn straight here. And though I'm very happily married and she thinks I'm pretty good in that department, it really doesn't do that much for me. And I'm like, neither do women. And putting my hands
so how
in,
can,
in front
so
of
how,
me,
what's
like,
your question
me a drink.
For, what would your question be for us then, Michael? How can we help you?
Okay, so the central issue is where's my healing here? If my faith isn't working, then it's got to be my fault. It's not his. And why haven't my desires ever changed from men to women?
So
well,
Michael,
it's still there.
I have a quick question. This may seem really out there, but were you ever molested? Did you have any sexual experience early on that you remember?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. And, see, that's part of the dynamic. By the time I reached age 11, everything that was male in my life had been destroyed by a divorce where my father was violent and then a subsequent remarriage where my stepfather was extremely emotionally abusive. So all that was taken away from me, and what took its place was my 22-year-old stepbrother who introduced me to the intimacy of this act and, you know, and then the battle began.
So your 22-year-old, your 22-year-old stepbrother was sexually acting out with you.
Oh, honey, they'd be in jail today, but they're all dead.
Oh, well, first off, I am heartbroken for you, Michael, that as a little guy who came into this world with life ahead of him, and you had your masculinity stolen. You had your sexuality broken into by a man who used you. Now, that, my friend, does everything to crisscross wires in our heart, in our mind, in our sexuality. And if you've not...
Can I tell you something real quick?
Yeah. Yeah.
It came down on me like a ton of bricks because the first night it happened, I was back the next night for more, despite the fact that I was horrified about it. So
of course,
that's how fast it
of
happened.
Of course. No, it wakes a child up to a sexual arousal, and it creates a sexual arousal template towards men. Mm-hmm. And so there's some work that can be done in that area, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. But we're here to care for your heart.
Yeah, we are, and we'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are going to continue taking your calls for another hour, and we would love for you to call. We have some lines open. We have some people that are holding on, and we want you to hold on. Right now, we're talking with Michael and Sherry. I think you were going to give them a couple steps forward, and then we'll hear from Jackie as well.
So, you know, Michael, the little guy inside that was molested by your stepbrother. That created an arousal template, and that little boy inside, that little guy is still alive. He's alive and well, and in some ways, he's driving that behavior, that desire towards men, because that was his very first arousal, and it created a template that felt good. When I've gone in and done some trauma work with folks that have your story very similar, I've used something called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, to go back and to actually do work around that initial sexual violation. That it was a molestation. And in our minds, we think, okay, a molestation, that's not a good thing for me. But that little guy inside that went back for more because it felt good, not because he liked it, but because it felt good, is alive and well. And that's that little guy, I would be working with you to go back and rescue that little guy and to help him get the truth, the real story, and to help desensitize yourself to that sexual arousal template so that you can be more embodied into the human being that you are.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you.
And you've made a decision for your life. You're married. You have a wife. Your sexual encounters are working out. But you still don't feel fulfilled in that. And so the question, like, why am I still a homosexual? Why do I still have same-sex attraction? Why hasn't God taken that away from me? When I heard you say that, I thought, well, it's kind of the thorn in the side like Paul had. There are times where God's just going to keep us coming back to him. And so some of the things we're going through, it may not go away. Like, you can go through and do the trauma work, and so that you can get to the before time and know who you were before that violation, and then be able to move forward making clear choices without that trauma blocking you. But you've made some choices and you're still dealing with the alcoholism and that addiction. So I would wonder if it would be helpful for you to be in a 12-step program and maybe continually. You know, there are people who are battling addictions, and they go to meetings and it becomes a lifelong process for them because they continually need the support. And you lost all of your support. That little guy lost the dads, and the dads weren't really protecting him. And so you didn't have that. It would be great for you to be surrounded by some strong men who could love you well as who you are and support this choice that you've made to live life according to what you believe God is saying for you to do, and to honor your wife and to honor your marriage. But I think you need some help and support, and maybe to take a step back and not shame yourself so much for not having a changed mind yet. There's still yet work to do, and it may be a lifelong process.
Yeah, I like that. We're going to send you a copy of Every Man's Battle, and I would encourage you, Michael, maybe even to join us at the January event in Washington, D.C. That could get you connected with a group of men to do exactly what Jackie's just talking about. But also, if you need a counselor that specializes in EMDR, we have counselors all over that we can connect you with. We're going to go to our final call, but we have lots of calls waiting. But don't hang up. So we're going to go to Michelle, who's calling us from Washington, D.C. Listens on WAVA. Hi, Michelle. How can we help you? Thanks for waiting.
Okay. We're just trying to get with Michelle here. So, I think okay. We just got her.
Hi.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. We're glad you're here. How can we help you? We only have a couple minutes, but we want to get to your call. So,
okay. Yes, I was calling regarding my. I was married for almost 40 years with my, and I had 10 children with my husband. And because of his consistent infidelity and this faithfulness, I decided that I needed to separate myself. So I did file it, and finally got divorced from the situation. We have been separated for now for a little over 2 years, almost over a year and a half now. But I was trying to, we're having a Christmas this year with my children, but I don't want to be around him. in the Christmas thing. I feel a little guilty in a sense, but I don't know if I should feel guilty because I just doesn't, and I don't know if he's by himself or what he's doing because he doesn't contact and call any of us. You know, the children pretty much doesn't reach out. My children are not little. They're adults now, so they all say the same thing. Look, Mom, you don't have to do it for our sake. So I was just wanting to make sure I had forgiveness because I don't want to hold bitterness. I was trying to have a heart of forgiveness.
So not inviting him, Michelle. You know, we started the show today talking about women taking the S off their chests, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's right, yeah. But
it is.
Take the
S off your chest. No superwomen here.
Your children are right.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the knowing inside of you. There is no reason for you to subject yourself to the discomfort of inviting him if you are not ready to.
Yeah. I'm
it doesn't mean that you're holding unforgiveness in your heart. It doesn't mean that. It means that you are still working through a loss of a 40-year marriage and all of the devastation that happened during those 40 years. You don't have to subject yourself to it this Christmas. Give yourself permission to put your mask on first and to focus on you.
And, well, and your kids will relax. I mean, if you can relax and accept yourself and just love on your kids, they're going to relax too, to not have him in the room this year. Just see what that feels like.
He showed up at Thanksgiving, and I was so uncomfortable, I just left. I didn't tell nobody where I was gone. I just left for a couple of days and just went on like a 2-day fast with just water because I was so, I don't know, it bothered me so much. I thought I could tolerate his presence there with us, but I couldn't. And when I sat there, all of a sudden, before I knew it, I walked out and I just left and I just didn't talk to my kids for a couple of days. I explained to them I just needed to heal myself because I was just, you know, spending time with God, wanted to make sure what I was doing was pleasing to him and in his sight, and it wasn't just about me.
Yeah. Well, it gets to be about you. You are a daughter of the Most High King, and he loves you, and you seek him and put the kingdom first. He wants you to have the desires of your heart. You've made the choice. The decision has been made. The divorce has happened, and you tried it. You tried it at Thanksgiving. Yeah. You tried to be in that same space and be open to it, and it was painful for you. And I would just listen to your heart now. You prayed and fasted and separated yourself to get a word from God, and I think you got it. It's incongruent with what you've done for 40 years.
Yes.
And so it's hard to settle into that. This is a new you.
Make it a new pathway. Sherry, do you have any closing thoughts before we go?
No, I think you zipped it up.
Well, it's amazing. When we started the show, we were talking about self-care, and even in self-care, it can feel uncomfortable because it's not normal. And like you just said, Jackie, you got 40 years of this has been the rhythm.
Yeah.
And now trying to step into a new rhythm can be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it's wrong. And sometimes we have to find some ways to do the self-care. And I was wondering if either of you could give her, just a word or two if that happens again, so that, you know, as she goes on to figure out that it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I would say if he shows up in a place that you are and you feel uncomfortable, that you don't have to be ashamed to say, you know what, I'm not really feeling comfortable right now. I'm going to go ahead and step away. And maybe we could send her Take Your Life Back.
I love that. We will do that. Thank you both for your wisdom. Thank you, callers. Hold on. We're going to go to our next hour, but we're so glad you're
with us. Thanks
for
listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.